Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. A little later on, we'll be telling you about a dramatic end in Juve's game today. We'll also be hearing from Thomas Tuchel, who broke his silence after his sacking at Chelsea. But we will begin in La Liga talking about Real Madrid staying perfect with a 4-1 win over Mallorca. After a difficult first half, it was pretty much the Rodrigo and Vinny show in the second half. There was a great goal from Fede Valverde as well, and Real Madrid stay top of the table. But after the game, Carlo Ancelotti spoke about Eden Hazard, who was in this game. He said it is better to use Rodrigo as nine with Valverde rather than Hazard. He went on to say, I mean, having Rodrigo and Valverde as a pair was better than having just one focal point with the way Mallorca played.
He took him off the field, right? Evidence in what you see in his decision making, and then evidence in what you see in the productivity from Rodrigo. In that Rodrigo was playing out in the wide right position, then he took the central position, playing alongside Vinny Jr., and the understanding between them two was very natural. But more importantly than anything else is that Rodrigo brings something that Eden Hazard hasn't proven he has anymore in his game, and that is pace. Speed to get away from people, to take people on. Rodrigo did that in a couple of occasions, once for his goal, but also to set up Vinny Jr., in that he created that separation. He was able to run away from people in tight spaces. He was able to take people on, and then once he drew that attention, then lay the ball off to Vinicio. Eden Hazard does not have that in his game anymore. He just hasn't proved that with Real Madrid. And because he's always coming to the ball, yeah, he's going to combine. But there isn't something that breaks through defenders. There isn't something that actually creates a separation and really attracts defenders. He's very easy to defend and very predictable to defend nowadays. Rodrigo gives something different to Real Madrid in that position. And I don't think there is any doubt that he would be the first choice starter when Benzema is not available.
Yeah, everything that we saw from Rodrigo in this game, Stevie, it's hard to argue, isn't it? He must have impressed his coach with a performance like that.
Well, I mean, I don't think any of us had any worries about the quality that Rodrigo has. And I guess if you're going to compare Rodrigo and Hazard in this game, then Rodrigo absolutely is a shining star and a big star of the future. Unfortunately for Hazard, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt at the start of the season or pre-season, when I thought he could just go in the middle and give Benzema a break whenever he needed it. But it's not happening. It's just not happening. And unfortunately for him, when you've got Vinny Jr. on one side and Rodrigo on the other side, and you look at those two, and then you look through the middle, there's a big drop-off. And, well, his days are numbered, shall we say.
Does he get any more chances?
I don't think he gets chances in big games. I think that time is gone for Eden Hazard. Here's the other thing, and the one problem that Carlo Ancelotti is going to have. So Benzema out injured. Okay. So you decide that Rodrigo is going to play through the middle and Valverde will play that hybrid role down the right-hand side. That's the way you want to go. Okay. The issue for him is that when he looks down the bench and he tries to find an option of a player that can change a game, that can have a different dynamic, that player is now on the field, and that is Rodrigo. So there is no change of pace coming from the bench. Marco Asensio doesn't give you that, and Hazard doesn't give you that. That's perhaps the only reason as to why maybe Rodrigo perhaps comes off the bench and Hazard plays. I just don't see it. When you see the evidence in front of you, and it's so clear to see that Rodrigo can give you productivity from the beginning of the game, and that understanding with Vinicius is as natural as we saw today, I think you go with Rodrigo down the middle, you play Valverde in that hybrid role, and then obviously Vinny Jr. down the left.
Ali, we've been speaking about in Benzema's absence, the players that have to step up. Did Vinny do the right job for you today?
Ah, well, yes, he did. And he is becoming, quickly becoming, in some people's eyes, not mine, as unlikable as Neymar because of some of the things that he is doing with the ball and baiting defenders and drawing the contact and becoming a show, a sideshow from the game. I love it. I enjoy it. I think you are seeing a player with confidence, a player that knows full well where he was and where he is now and potentially where he's going to be. He has become critical to the success of Real Madrid. And when Karim Benzema is not available, all attention goes on who? That guy, Vinicius Jr. He's the one that's going to provide us with something different from that left-hand side. He did that today.
Good coaching moment, by the way. Mm. Ancelotti has to get Vinicius in his office and stick his finger right in his face and say, if you want to play 300, 400 games for Real Madrid, you can't go showboating like that because somebody will catch you eventually. He got away with it in this game when he just got a little tap. But somebody's going to catch you eventually, and then all you need is a bit of bad luck and you're at the game for a period of time. So this is a really good time. Because I honestly haven't seen that before from him.
You love Vinny Jr., don't you?
I think he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, as much as I think he's fantastic, I hate to see all that nonsense. So Ancelotti needs to get a hold of him.
But to that point, the people at the Bernabeu were loving it. And the people at the Bernabeu, they love him and they respond to him. And they respond to that sort of behavior because it's their player. Mm. However, to your point, he's not going to be playing at the Bernabeu every game. And somebody, eventually, if you continue to do this, they'll get after you. I think he enjoys it. He enjoys the role that he's playing because he's successful at what he's doing right now. And the confidence is the highest it's ever been for him.
Thanks, LA. And there'll be no doubt more talk about Vinny Jr. as Leipzig are up next for Real Madrid in the Champions League. Make sure to tune in to tomorrow's show to stay up to date with all the latest chat. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Thomas Tuchel took to social media on Sunday night to break his silence on the Chelsea sacking. This was a part of what he said. He said, "It's one of the most difficult statements I've ever had to write, and it is one which I had hoped I would not need to do for many years. I am devastated that my time at Chelsea has come to an end. This is a club where I felt at home, both professionally and personally. The pride and joy I felt at helping the team to win the Champions League and the Club World Cup will stay with me forever." Well, now let's welcome in two Frenchmen, shall we? Frank Leboeuf and Julien Laurent to talk about this. Frank, what's your reaction to Tuchel putting this out there tonight?
Well, hi, everyone. I hear the frustration and I hear the sadness clearly from Thomas Tuchel. But again, we talked about it and there were, I think, something to do because everybody saw it's not a kind of a term of result, even if we can complain about the loss against the team, against Zagreb. I think it was in Champions League and some games, you know, in the Premier League. Everybody felt, and I think the board and all the specialists around working for Chelsea, that the improvement couldn't be possible with the way Tuchel was handling his team and his squad, therefore his dressing room. So it was a time to change. We live in a world of emergency, but I really think if I have to complain about that and to denounce that, at the same time I have to accept the fact that it's better to sort the problem out sooner than later. And if you feel that it's impossible, and if you really feel that it's impossible for Tuchel to sort the problem out, you have to change. Now you have to change for better. Potter is there. Will he be able to change it? Hopefully, yes, for the Chelsea fans and for the entertainment. Because what we saw the most, it was what we saw with Mourinho. We came back to boring Chelsea. There was nothing. So it's sad, but that's quite realistic what we had to, what the board had to decide.
He's hurt, clearly, Stevie. Mm. Has he done the right thing by putting this out there?
Oh, it's a lovely statement. Yeah, well done. A bit of class. Says all the right things, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. What else? I mean, what else is he going to say? I'm glad I got the bullet. I'm glad they paid me up because I was hating every minute of it. I mean, what else is he going to say? He said the right thing. It's a class statement. But what else is he going to say?
Can I just say, though, that... Well, I agree with you, right? Okay, he puts out the statement. I think it's unnecessary because if he was going to put a statement, do it right away. But regardless, right? It's a little late.
Well, somebody's probably told him. Yeah.
In any case.
He was still reeling, Alex.
Right, but yeah. Here's the part that I think is just typical of coaches. While he's telling you that he's devastated, he was also very sure to make it very clear that he was part of a Champions League winning team and the Club World Cup. And yes, I was coaching the team at the time. Just a reminder, I'm devastated, but I did all these things for Chelsea. Don't you forget about it.
Yeah, just a little reminder for the next end player as well. Jules, I'm interested to know, obviously, it was a similar situation. We've seen him come out at Dortmund, PSG as well. Was there a heartfelt thread on Twitter after his PSG sacking?
Not that I remember, no. I don't think there was any statement after he got sacked in Paris just before Christmas. Maybe he was too busy doing his Christmas tree or, you know, preparing the turkey. I don't know. And certainly the same at Dortmund. I don't remember a statement at Dortmund either. I think he had a special relationship with the Chelsea fans, and for sure, because he won the Champions League so quickly and they'd been waiting for it for a long time. I can see why that relationship was quite strong, certainly with the majority of the fans. But I think the situation with the dressing room and with his owners, with the people above him, was too deteriorated. But I think that he could have been sacked even earlier if he didn't have that kind of relationship with the fans. I think that relationship with the fans and the new owners didn't want to press the button too early because of the backlash maybe that they would receive from the fans. I think bought him a few more games and a few more weeks. Otherwise, I really feel and I believe that he could have even sacked earlier. So that relationship, I think, helped him in a way. But I think it was inevitable that he would get the sacked. But I like the statement. I'm like Stevie. There's nothing else he could have said. But I think to thank the fans, he did it the right way.
Luis Campos, in the frame for the sporting director role at Chelsea. Let's look at the future for Chelsea, if we can, Jules. He's been in a role at PSG. What more can you tell us about him?
Well, I think he's one of the best, there's no doubt, especially if you want to go and sign players who are not already superstars. Of course, I think it's pretty easy for anyone to be a sports United if you only sign superstars. But to find the one that you're going to make into superstars, or the one that maybe are just below the level of superstars but can make it and are not too expensive. He's got a great scouting network and people who work for him all around the world. He's got an amazing eye for young talent, especially. He's proved it everywhere he's been, really, from Real Madrid to PSG now. The thing is, he's already with the club, so it's not easy for Chelsea to go and get someone who's already under contract, even if it's a bit of a different contract, really, that the one he has with PSG. But I think it makes sense that he's on their shortlist, for sure, like you would expect a Monchi to be there, and Michael Edwards, who they already spoken to and who said no, on that shortlist as well. The thing is, and we said that with Gab the other day on our show, usually you would do the sporting director first, like PSG did, so Campos first, and then the sporting director brings a manager who either he knows really well or certainly who has the same ideas as him. If you bring already the manager, then you would need to find a sporting director now with the same philosophy, and that might not be as easy to do it that way than to do the other way around.
Yeah, obviously the reports are that Potter is part of the discussions. Frank, what do you think of it? Would you be happy to see Luis Campos coming in at Chelsea in a sporting director's role?
Well, okay, definitely. I think for me he's the best sporting manager, the football I ever seen. I followed him when he was in Real Madrid, but after in Monaco, Lille. Remember that Lille was about to be relegated when he came over, and like 2 years or 3 years after they became champion of France, and no doubt that all big clubs want to have him because he knows how to find, because of his network, the best players. Now the best example is Osimhen for me from Lille, coming and leaving like a year after for Naples and doing great there. So that's a kind of example. Of course, you have Mbappe, and of course, you have so many other players that you could name. But that would be a fantastic thing. But I agree with Jules. What will be the relationship between Potter and him? Do they have the same philosophy? Will Potter leave Campos to decide who has to come or not? That I don't know. So that they have to take care of that. Otherwise, they're going to face a conflict.
Jules, I've got a question for you.
Oh, here we go.
Because, well, I'm just thinking about this. You know, you've got a sporting director who's at PSG, who Chelsea are trying to get. I understand when football players move clubs, but football players, yes, they move for money, but you don't move from a PSG with Neymar and Messi and all these players to go to a team that's struggling. What motivates a sporting director to leave PSG, where I assume he's getting all kinds of money to be the sporting director? What motivates him to leave there to go to Chelsea?
Well, I guess apart from the money, and I think they would offer him, you know, bigger wages, for example, than why he's in Paris. Then I think it's the fact that he would want to go to the Premier League and prove that he can do a job at a club like Chelsea. And to sign the players who then build this amazing team that goes and win the Premier League and maybe win the Champions League as well and other trophies, which is what he obviously did in France. And maybe he thinks that France, if he was to leave, I don't think he will leave. I don't think that will happen. But let's say he goes to Chelsea, I guess the motivation would be, okay, I've proven everything I could in France, because with Lille and with Monaco and then PSG, it's a bit easier, but I've built those great teams. Now I want to do it in the best league in the world. And can I go to Chelsea, work well with the manager, and then find those players like some of the names that Frank mentioned, but we could add Fabinho and Bernardo Silva and those kind of guys to Chelsea and make that team super successful and then really becoming the best sporting director in the world, because I would have pretty much done it everywhere. I guess that's the motivation, but I agree with you. And I think what we can't underestimate, and that's why I don't think it will happen, because Campos and Galtier are PSG. Campos and Galtier are like, literally, if you had only two fingers in your hand, they would be Galtier and Campos. This is what they do. They have this incredible relationship, like bonds that they have, that I've rarely seen a manager and a sporting director working that way, such strongly bonded. And I think he might get on with Potter. They might have similar ideas or not. But him and Galtier are really, really something else. And I don't think he would leave him in Paris on his own. I don't think Galtier would want him to leave either. And again, had Chelsea done it the other way around, so Campos first and said to him, OK, now you can decide who the manager is going to be, then I think that would have been far more appealing for him than saying to him, look, we've got Potter. Oh, by the way, it's a six-year deal. So we want him to be there for the long term. You're going to have to come here and sort of like sort everything with him and be good with him. I think this is far more difficult.
Well, you can hear more from Jules.
It's a really good question, Stevie, by the way.
It's a great question.
Hey, thank you.
Ale and Stevie will also be on the next edition, the latest edition of Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube page.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the Serie A, Napoli and Atalanta and Milan on 14 points in first, second and third. And that is Udinese in fourth. And where are Juve? Oh, yes, they are down there in eighth right now. And it didn't quite go their way against Salernitana either. They went 2-0 down. They managed to score two goals back. In fact, they got three back, but their third was disallowed. And then all the drama took over. It was absolute chaos. We saw red cards all around. Allegri got sent off. The fans were booing Juventus at their own stadium too. There is lots to discuss when it comes to this game. Just give us a little breakdown of everything we saw at the end there, Jules.
Well, it was an incredible end of the game. I think one that you rarely, rarely see. Salernitana played so well through the whole game. They 2-1 up with only, I think it was 5 minutes added time to go. And Juve got a penalty. I think it's a little bit soft, the foul from Tony Villena on I think it was Cuadrado or Alexandro maybe. I think it's a bit soft, but the penalty is given. There's not even a VAR check or for the referee to go and see the screen. Leo Bonucci takes the penalty. He's saved, but he scores the rebound. It's 2-2. There's only 2 minutes to go. It's crazy in the J Stadium, as you can imagine. And Salernitana go on to the attack. They're on the attack. They lose the ball. It's a counter-attack from Juve. The ball goes on to the left-hand side. There's a shot by Fragioli. The ball is deflected, goes into a corner. Cuadrado takes the corner. It's a header by Milik. The ball goes in. The stadium explodes. Everybody explodes. Milik takes the shirt off, thinking that they've won the game 3-2. Literally the last kick of the game. So this is over. Everybody says, everybody celebrates, of course, except that there's an offside and the goal is disallowed. Ruled is obviously ruled out, and it's the right call because there is offside. But Milik took his shirt off in the celebration. That's a second yellow. It's a red. He's sent off. There's a bit of argy-bargy between the players because of how incredible it is. It's a red for Fazio. It's a red for Cuadrado. Allegri goes mad. He's taken the jacket off. It's a red for Allegri as well, who, to be fair, was already, he knew he was going to get a red card. There's an extra 5 minutes to go. We're playing the 102nd minute, and the referee blew the whistle on 2-2. An incredible end of the game. With all the right calls being made, I think the penalty is right, although a bit soft. There is an offside, and I think the goal is rightly disallowed. But what an incredible last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and obviously Juventus will feel as though things have gone against them. But let's be honest, Jules, Juventus have not looked good for the start of the season. There's been a lot of criticism for Allegri so far and reports of whistles from the stands tonight in their own stadium.
Yeah, they booed the team, they booed Allegri until the second goal. They went back to 2-2, and obviously after the third goal that they thought they scored and the win, it was very different atmosphere. But before that, it was a terrible performance from Juventus from start to the 90th minute, let's put it that way. It was really poor with the ball. It was what we've seen this season, but also last season, since Allegri came back a year ago. We haven't seen much, really. He hasn't built anything. There's no rhythm to that team. There's no patterns of play. There's no philosophy, no identity. There's nothing. Of course, sometimes they win games, and they're still unbeaten, by the way, but only two wins and four draws now in the six Serie A games so far. They always manage to get something because they've got talented players. I mean, Vlahovic is good. Milik has had a good impact since arriving from Marseille. When you've got Kostic and Cuadrado putting the crosses in, of course, Milik and Vlahovic are going to score. but too often he's so poor with the ball. And I think you can understand why the fans were booing and whistling, because it was just not enough. And I think Allegri is in denial completely. He's been in denial for a few weeks now, not understanding the criticism from the fans or from the media, thinking that everything is great and that they're improving and that they will actually get there and compete for the title. He's in dreamland.
Seems like he is a dreamland. Definitely not at the end of this one anyway. Getting sent off 2-2 is how it finished. But you do wonder, Jules, what can happen though after this? Because his contract allows him to stay in his role, but surely people are calling for his head.
Oh yeah, everywhere. I think fans are calling. The criticism in the press is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Against PSG, it was a bit lucky that PSG fell asleep at the start of the second half and Juve got a goal back and then there was still something to play in. But they could easily have been 4-0 down by then, or even end the game 4-1 down. But it got a little bit lucky there. But I think the pressure is mounting, that's for sure. They're easy in a way that before their trip to Milan, which is I think at the beginning of October, they would play teams like Monza. And then after Milan, there's Torino. There's also Maccabi in the Champions League. So they will win. And I don't think there will be enough for him to get sacked. And again, I don't think that Juve financially can sack him and his staff. That would cost too much money. And let's not forget that they already sacked Sarri and obviously, I can't remember his name, but the former manager as well. And
PLO.
So that's cost them money.
PLO,
sorry, exactly. Yeah, PLO, and you know, you can't go on again and sack a third manager in the last 3 years, really 4 years. So I don't think they can afford that. So he will have to stay. But the problem is, even if you say okay, he stays in his job, you cannot see how things will improve. This is he doesn't really beat teams that play nice football or everything. He builds winning teams. The problem is this team is not winning. So I just can't see where they can go and how things could improve.
Frank, you saw them against PSG this week. What were your thoughts?
Well, I agree with Jules. Without the fact that PSG decided to not play anymore, Juventus reborn in a way and showed a little bit of something. But before that, I was there. I agree. It was nothing. That was appalling, because the status of Juventus, historically talking, is not there. And they have to change something, because, of course, we need a big Juventus in Europe. And for a year, almost a year and a half, is not what we are seeing right now.
Juventus are Man U of Italian football.
Easy. You just got personal there.
Just came to me.
You just made it personal.
A flash of genius just came to me.
Manchester United actually winning a string of games. So,
well, we've won a couple.
There'll be more talk about Juventus' current situation and the Serie A and Manchester United.
A wave of genius.
Podcast. Thanks for that, Stevie.
Thank you.
Sure to download that wherever you get your podcasts.
Questions and a wave of genius, all in one show.
I'm in the wrong seat.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy Priceline.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Stick around with us now, though, because these guys will be answering your questions on Extra Time. Frank, too, will be back with you in just a moment. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We have Stevie Nicol, Alejandro Moreno, and Frank Leboeuf is with us too, and we'll be answering your questions. I mentioned to you I had a little quick story. It was my birthday yesterday. I was on my own with the kids. I had all these plans. And then my husband drove all the way to Stamford, which is quite a way away from where we live, with both sets of car keys. So I was stuck at home on my birthday with the kids. Luckily, they deliver cake by the slice these days. So it wasn't so bad in the end.
Wait a second.
What a nightmare.
Hold on. Have you seen your husband since?
I've seen him. Speaking to him, I'm not sure about
that. Well, that's what I wanted to get to. Did you let him know that this was unacceptable behavior?
I let his producers know, because he works in a similar role to me, so that they could give him what for on air, and they did.
He just reminded me of a birthday day story.
Tell me.
I actually spent my birthday once sat on the toilet.
What, all day?
Pretty much.
Because what just happened? How did we get here?
Great.
Well, because I had to have a colonoscopy, right? And I decided to be really smart. I thought, you know what? I'll organise it for the day after my birthday, because then I can have a good birthday, and then I'll get it the next day. There was a slight flaw in the plan. Because you've got to take all the stuff the day before.
Which empties your system.
Which empties your system. So that's why, on my birthday, I spent the day in the toilet.
And I can only imagine what was in your system to begin with.
Let's not beg, shall we? All right. For Stevie.
Hey, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Kay.
Yes, thanks. Frank, I bet you're glad you joined us, aren't you?
Hey.
All right. For Stevie and Ale, what is the MLS version of doing it on a rainy night in Stoke?
probably the Revs, right?
Yeah, the Revs don't help, but maybe going to altitude? Can you go to Denver?
No. No. It's either, it's one of two things.
Okay.
Either Denver with altitude, or Dallas with the heat. One of the two.
So it's a humid night in Dallas or a snowy night in Denver?
Well, any night in Denver.
But then can we add the snow to make even...
Oh, we played in Dallas in the afternoon. We played at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It was horrendous.
Oh, or you could, if you want to go back to old school MLS, can you do it in a rainy day or rainy night in Naperville, Illinois?
Oh, no, that was awful.
Yeah, can you do that?
Yeah, that was awful. Remember the changing room?
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful.
It was awful.
So if we go back, that would be it.
I mean, there's plenty to pick from, but yeah, that wasn't a lot of fun. It was turf, and it was the bad turf, and I think it was a Division III college or university, something like that. It wasn't fun.
Did you ever do it on a rainy night in Stoke?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. Won a cup semi-final in
there you
Stoke.
Go.
On a rainy night on a Tuesday?
Not good at booking colonoscopies. Excellent at getting it done on a rainy night in
Stoke. Absolutely.
Why would anybody let you book the colonoscopy?
I thought we were done with that.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to have to ask Frank a quick question, because the next question is for LA. Frank, did you ever do it on a rainy night in Stoke?
Oh. Yes. In fact, the quarterfinal of the FA Cup against Liverpool at Chelsea. And it was a typical English weather with a very bad grass at Stamford Bridge at the time. And that was one of the best, in fact, result and evening for the Blues, because we are losing 2-0 and we won 4-2. Great atmosphere. That was a very rainy night in Stoke, let's say, but at the end of the day, it was quite a memory.
Which part of this has got anything to do with Stoke?
So that's the MLS version of doing it.
Oh, all right.
All right?
Okay. You okay with that?
Well,
yeah.
He's been running the show today.
I know.
He's been asking questions.
Yeah. I can't imagine Stamford Bridge, when Frank was there, and it was a bit of rain, was particularly bad.
But the Stamford Bridge isn't in Stoke?
Well, geography is a problem.
I'm trying to play along with it, if you don't mind.
I think you've got a bit rogue on tonight's show, to be honest.
I'm trying to play along with this whole facade, and you've just
You just
got your smiley pants on again for the second time.
What else did he do, LA? He started asking Jules questions.
Yes, he provided magic. A little bit of, yes. What is it that
you... busy night.
A wave of magic. And this is what he referred to.
In the Real Madrid game.
You can put it if you want.
No. You're an integral part of the show, Stevie. For LA, do you still have Barcelona winning La Liga? Madrid have never lost the title after winning their first five matches.
Yes, I do. I still have Barcelona winning the league simply because of the situation that we're going through right now with Real Madrid. They have no answer for the absence of Karim Benzema. It may be Rodrigo, it is not in Hazard, and they don't have a lot of options in terms of depth in the attacking half coming off the bench. Barcelona has a lot of that. The only question for Barcelona is, can they make it work? Can all this group of players make it work? Seemingly, over the last few weeks, it looks like they figure it out. So Barcelona long-term seems like a safer bet than Real Madrid, even though Real Madrid has proven that they are indeed the team to beat. I still think Barcelona wins it.
There you go, sticking with that one. Frank, who will have a bigger impact with Brazil at the World Cup this year, Neymar or Vinicius?
Oh, that's a hard question. On top of it, they play almost the same position, you know, normally. The natural position, they're the same position. But I'm sure they're both going to play. It's still, well, it's soon, yeah. I almost say a mistake, you know, saying that it's in June. But it's soon. They're both on fire right now. And I've been a lot of time critical towards Neymar throughout the past years, that I will have to give him some credit. What I see from him from the beginning of the season is what we saw when he was playing for Barcelona, and we never seen since he signed for Paris. So he's on fire. Hopefully for him and Brazil, is going to be the same during the World Cup. And if he's the same, I think I will have to bet on him.
Neymar or Vinny, biggest impact?
I'll go Neymar.
The impact of both is related to the performance of the other. So Neymar's impact will be bigger if Vinicius is playing well. And if Neymar is playing well, then Vinicius' impact is going to be bigger as well. I think they depend very heavily on each other. I thought today of all days you would have figured that out.
Today's late.
So if Vinny plays well, Neymar will play well. But yeah. If Neymar plays well, Vinny will play well.
Yeah.
So who else is going to play well if they both play well?
Yeah, I agree with Stevie.
What can only one play?
No, my point is, let me explain it so that you understand it, Stevie. If Neymar is playing well, then he's going to attract a lot of.
Vinny's going to play well.
If Neymar is playing well, then he's going to attract attention, which then frees up Vinicius to do the things that he does naturally.
Right.
If Vinicius is playing well, that's going to attract attention. It's going to give Neymar more space. That's all I'm saying. They're going to depend on each other.
If a tree falls in the... Right. For LA, what's Vinny Jr.'s ceiling?
Well, let's ask Stevie.
Well, you better ask
depends
Neymar.
On Neymar.
Well, depends on Neymar. Because if Neymar plays well, Vinny's ceiling goes higher, right? But if Neymar's not playing well, then Vinny's ceiling's lower. So it depends on Neymar.
You know, right? Stevie, all I was trying to do was to be understanding of the mood that you were in today, but apparently...
Well, it's a logical answer.
It is a logical answer. Neymar. I think Vinny Jr.'s ceiling is much higher now than what it was a couple of seasons ago. And he has forced that ceiling to go higher and higher, given his growth and his maturity.
Is that all right by you?
Especially with Neymar as well.
Stevie, do you think the stoppage of the Prem will help Liverpool with the players they have coming back from injury and for them to find themselves again?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it's a horrible thing to happen and a tragedy, obviously, for the Windsor family. But for Liverpool, it's just pull the air out of it and just...
Time to pause.
Just have a little rethink on what you can do better, which is a lot of things. and how you can get everything back to some sort of normality. So, yeah, the fact that they didn't have to play this
weekend. Well, Chelsea as well.
Is huge. Yeah, Chelsea as well fall into the very same category. Yeah.
And it gives them time to work, which is what
done. Yep.
Which is what Klopp would have been short on. It's time to figure out, okay, he talked about reinventing Liverpool after the last game. Well, this gives him time to try at the very least to sort of head in that direction, which he didn't have before.
Frank, every time I check my football scores app, Liga always has multiple red cards. Mm. There's been 31 total red cards, including the two today. Is this normal, or are French footballers just angry?
Oh.
No, it's been asked from the Ligue 1 board, the LFP, for referees to be more strict in the way of what you can see, especially in the last 18-yard box and also on fouls and everything. So it's been a question mark, and it's been a debate in France as well. You know, whether referee were too strict, or if they should let it go a little bit more. I think it's always like that. Every 5 years, we suddenly have somebody who says, well, you know, we have to be strict, and few more months after, that disappeared. So it's not a tough league. It's a Latin one, so you have lots of cheaters as well. Your players can be dirty at some point, but it's not, let's say, dirtier than any other league, more difficult than any other league. It's just something the referee decided to go, but it's going to go away and fade away very, very soon.
After Juve's game today, maybe Serie A have caught up with all the red cards that were dished out in that game. Why are you laughing?
I just find it amazing that not just France, but everywhere, for some reason, the authorities that have referees come up with things they're going to do. You know, in MLS, it used to happen all the time. We get an email from the league saying, this year, the referees are going to do this. And we're like, why?
I like the voice that you used to do it. This year.
Honestly, but it's almost like every year they're like, right, what can we do? You know. Oh, I know what we'll do. Let's be a lot stricter.
What is that sarcastic mood coming from, Stevie, today?
I'm not. No. I've been left in the house on my own talking to the dog basically for a fortnight.
I feel like.
So I think that's when it might be.
You're the version of the player who wears bright pink boots on the pitch today.
Wow.
Is that good?
And maybe has like a really cool hairstyle.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. She basically called your name art today. That's what you have
but
been
But that's
in
not a
show.
Bad thing, especially if Vinny's around.
Yeah, because when Vinny plays well, then Neymar can play well too.
I wouldn't mind his bank balance.
Are we allowed to share a little bit, if not the actual text, of how your voice message translated Stevie's?
Right. So Stevie called me last night, left a message, but my phone, as I'm sure other phones do, they transcribe the message. So it shows up as a text. I open up the text and it makes no sense. And I mean zero sense. So I had two options, two thoughts crossed my mind. The first thought, I must admit, well, Stevie's alone. Maybe a couple of beers are included here. Maybe, I'm just saying history tells us that maybe the sense doesn't make sense because it has been a good night for Stevie. But I thought, you know, Stevie told me that he was looking out after himself, that he was going through a healthy streak.
Correct. And you are correct again.
Okay. Turns out that I then listened to the message and it is Stevie talking and he is making sense. Clearly, the machine that is, however this works, that they're transcribing the message, has not had the experience with Scottish accent.
Can you imagine, right, in our house, what it's like whenever we have to talk to Alexa, or you know, you get the TV thing, you try and get. I mean, on a Saturday, it drives me insane. I'll be like, Liverpool versus Manchester United. And some nonsense will come up. And I can't even get the program.
Here we go.
Seriously.
This is the transcription. Hi, Seth. First problem. Hi, Seth. You know we do, and so sorry. I let you know you said within their side itself against what's just the Champions League. Hey, final, because when the away their house, they said was good. Absolutely, brothers gonna. That was the message that came on my phone. Now, you have to imagine that when I thought of Stevie and I saw this message, he would not have been in good shape.
No.
No, it's Alexa all over again.
I know, poor Seth.
Yeah. And where did Seth come from?
Seth had no idea. All right. What are the panel's sitting position on the bus during their playing days? So the other day on Extra Time, we got to chatting where players, our ex-players, sat on the team bus. Mm. So I'll start with you, Frank. Where did you sit on the team bus when you were a player?
I think it was in the middle of the bus, never at the back. Because at the time the guy was smoking at the back, so it was smoky, but I never liked, you know, like in class, you know, when you sit on the first bench, it's like you want to be the professor's son, or you know, the favorites and everything. So I never wanted to be close to the coach as well. So sitting in the middle of the bus was the right position for me.
Same as Craig Burley, somewhere in the middle. His was for the card games, but you'll know that, Frank, anyway. Ale.
Yeah,
it was back of the bus for me. I was not smoking, but I enjoy being in the back of the bus.
Are you one of the cool kids?
No, I was more of the quiet kid, but every once in a while, it was nice to be in the mix of the cool kids. So we just dip in, every once in a while participate, but then I would say, when I say it's not the very back, probably a couple of seats from the back. And then whenever we rode in buses that were double-deckers, we had that a lot in South America, I would like to be obviously in the second floor, but at the front of the bus, where I actually know where I'm going, because I tend to get a little dizzy if I'm sitting in the back and in the double bus. I don't know why. Yeah, so I like to see where I'm going.
So if it was a double bus at the front, if it was a normal bus at the back.
Yeah, because in the double bus, in the double decker, the coaches would be sitting down below. So you're no longer concerned about being perceived a coach's pet, if you will, if you're sitting close to them. Mm-hmm. So now you can sit at the front and actually see where you're going.
So Shaka's way of thinking was like you, near enough to the back that you can get involved if the fun if you want to, but also decide to be out of it.
You don't have to be fully associated with what's going on in the back. You can participate, laugh about it, but if the back gets in trouble, hey, this guy's, I don't know what this guys are doing over there.
Where were you, Stevie?
So there was two buses. There was the game day bus, or the team bus going to a game, or training. Because we used to travel from the ground to the training ground every day. So on the training ground, I was always two rows in front of the back seat.
Okay.
And I always sat generally next to Steve Highway, who was one of the coaches. And then on the game day bus, I would be... Sometimes I would play cards, if they let me, because I wasn't very good. Used to play Hearts. And if not, I would be across on the other table, just eating. eating Chris and drinking Coke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is the game day bus?
The game day bus.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, not beg your pardon. No, this was travelling on a Friday.
Oh.
Right.
Travelling on a Friday to the game.
Okay.
But the coaches always had the tables in the middle, which is why the card players would be in the middle, right?
Well, no, because our game day...
Because a lot of them now have tables on every seat, right?
The bus we had, the two tables were towards the back, because the toilets were always
almost at the back.
Right.
Yeah.
So in front of the toilets, there was always a table on side and a table on the other side. So it was kind of backish without being at the back.
Right. So both of you quite near the back, but not quite at the back. All right. Ale, do you think it's awkward at Barcelona with players like Piqué and Alba being benched by a former teammate in Xavi, who is now the coach?
Yeah, it's a touchy situation. But I think having been teammates would allow for there to be a relationship where you can be very straightforward with the players and very honest with the players. Now, I'm not certain as to how Xavi has been able to do this, but it seems like he has been very clear and has not gone back on his word or whatever was communicated to Jordi Alba and Gerard Piqué. And seemingly, because the team is winning, this transition has been as smooth as you possibly could have hoped for if you're Barcelona and Xavi. Now, if you're Gerard Piqué and Jordi Alba and all the success that you've had with this club, you're sitting there, you're taking in the information. You don't have to like it, but at the end of the day, this is the man that is making the decisions, and you have to respect it, and you have to move forward and be ready, because there's going to be opportunities for you to play, given that injuries do happen. But it is a touchy situation when you have had a relationship that goes beyond a coach or an assistant coach, when it's actually a former teammate and somebody that you know closely, and now that guy is telling you you're not playing. It can feel like a personal shot, even though in the end it's not.
It depends big time on the players.
Because you've had experience of this.
Yeah. Well, because players don't understand that the manager's picking a team A to win a game, but he's picking a team and he has to pick the team that he thinks is going to win for a whole host of reasons. He's got a responsibility to all the players in the squad. He's got a responsibility to the owners, to the board. He's got a responsibility to the fans. So regardless of whether you're friends or former colleagues or whatever it is, Xavi's picking the team for those reasons, all of those reasons. And it has nothing to do with any personal relationship. And if I'm Xavi, you sit those players down and you tell them that, because it's important they know that. Then there's no doubt if they don't like it, then that's on them. There's no doubt where the problem is now, because he's explained the reasons that he makes decisions, and they're part of his decision making, and these are why he does it. So as long as they accept that, which you have to assume they'll respect him, but as long as they're mature enough to understand the reasons behind it, then it'll be fine. But as I said, the one thing from Xavi's point is if they become a pest or a bad influence or negative, it's on them. It's not on him.
The issue on players in general is that they're not thinking about all the variables that Stevie just mentioned. You're thinking about number one. You're thinking about yourself and how Xavi's decision affects you. Not everybody else, you. And it's difficult to get beyond that and to see a bigger picture, because you're, particularly when you have so much success with a club and you've been a critical part to that success, and now you're being told it's not your time anymore, your time has passed. That's difficult to accept.
I had it with a player at the Revs who, when I was the assistant, we always used to have a great good laugh and carry on and the whole thing. And then when I got the manager's job, a period of time later, I dropped him. And it was the first thing he said to me. He came in my office and he said, I thought we were mates, I thought we were... And I was like, I said, it's got nothing to do with that. And I explained everything I just told you. I said, this is why I pick a team, and right now I'm not picking you because of blah, blah, blah. And he got it. And that was the end of it, because he understood now what was going on.
So he got it?
Yeah.
Did you have that experience ever, Frank?
Yes, I did with Gianluca Vialli. He signed the same time as I did for Chelsea, and a year and a half after, he took charge of the team and became, for his first time, a coach. And it was very hard because, we were very close to each other. He spent even Christmas at home, you know, so we were like two big friends. And as soon as he got in charge, he took the distance he needed to do, and I understood that. But as Stevie said, he never explained anything. He just became critical towards, you know, the way we were living our lives, where I was spending most of the time with him. So we didn't understand, and many players with me, without naming them, didn't get what he was doing. And at the end of the time, at the end of the day, you know, we won trophies with him, but the relationship weren't the same. He never explained what he wanted to do. It was, well, even when we won the Cup Winners' Cup final, it was how to say, he wasn't happy, he wasn't laughing, he wasn't sharing with us. So the distance was so big that at the end of the day, we didn't have any relationship. So it's very hard because you want to talk. He was your friend and you don't understand because he takes something in charge that he has to be completely different. He can be different, of course, but it doesn't need to be completely different. I think if you are frank, honest, it's much better in that situation because it can be clear to both sides.
He's definitely frank.
Yeah. Well, no, yes, he is frank. Yes.
He's definitely frank.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Yeah,
but he's frank LeBeouf, not frank honest.
There you go.
Right. For Frank, let's be frank. What is your expectation for Chelsea this season?
Well, the first four position, that will be okay. That's it. I don't ask them to win anything. The beginning of the season wasn't good, and with the World Cup in the middle, it's going to be another break, and it's going to be a very tough season for everybody. And I think Stevie is thinking the same. But if at least they can get the first four position to get into a Champions League next season, that would be fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's kind of the same as when Frank Lampard got the job. That was the only thing.
Another Frank.
How
Another
many Franks Frank. Are you going to bring in?
Say what? I didn't mean that at all.
Go on anyway.
Right. Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah. Could be Frank.
Maybe. All right, same that thing. Will do it for the latest edition. Thank you so much for your questions. Thanks for the fun. Thanks to Frank.
Oh, happy belated birthday. Yes.
Stevie. Thank you.
Yes.
That's so
just
cute.
Need to go and see if the keys are in my bag so I can get home.
Oh,
did we do the Bon in the Zoo and all that, or did we do it normally?
The bumps.
What are you talking about?
Singing happy birthday.
You want to sing happy birthday?
No, did we do the normal one, or is it you were born in a zoo? No, there's
I have right, no idea what you're talking
hey,
about.
Happy birthday.
No idea what you're talking about.
Let's send it there, shall we? Thank you so much for being with us.
I'll send it on
the
phone.
Get the translation.
I'll send you a message on my phone and you can read it. You'll get it then.
Happy birthday, Kay!
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Kay!